Alright, that'll be a blessing.
If the ushers would take the piece of paper and pass those out at this time. Can everybody see that? Is that high enough? High enough? Okay. All right. If you just take one of those pieces of paper, as the ushers are doing that, we'll go over to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. All of us know this portion of Scripture. This is going to be our jumping pad tonight, as it was last week. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 and 20. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Here, the purpose we've been talking about for last week and now this week, the purpose of soul winning. The purpose of soul winning is, of course, as we know, to see somebody saved, baptized, then also go out and be a soul winner themselves. And so that is the full purpose of the soul winner in those two verses. Teaching them, getting them saved, getting them baptized, getting them into the church, and then them being soul winners. Then, the Bible says in Ephesians 6 and verse 6, the servant of God, servants of God, doing the will of God from the heart. And as a soul winner goes out, he must go soul winning from his heart. It's not a thing that we just do because it's our duty. Of course, it is our duty. But also we must do it from a heart of love towards the Lord. That doesn't mean every time I go out soul winning, I'm going to feel like it, of course. But I'm doing it from my heart. So the love in my heart compels me to be faithful to God's call and to His command in our lives. We're going to be talking about, last week we talked about the preparation of the soul winner. The preparation of the soul winner mentally, physically, and then spiritually. And there are four things four basic areas which the soul winner must be knowledgeable in. Last week we talked about the area of the preparation of the soul winner, and this week we're going to be talking about the presentation of the soul winner, then also the plan and the persuasion. Not all of those in one night tonight, or else we'll be here till midnight. So let's begin with the presentation of the soul winner. The presentation of the soul winner. The first impression is a lasting impression. The first impression is a lasting impression. If I make an impression on somebody, it is often my first impression that sticks in the mind of a person as somebody gets to know me. And so the soul winner must present himself. The soul winner, the presentation of a soul winner can open or close the door of opportunity. The way I present myself can either open doors for my soul winning, or it can close a door that I would like to have open. One's position on a doctrine may cause a door to be closed, but never should one's disposition. I should never be in a ornery mood or a cantankerous mood as I go out soul winning, at least not let that person know that I am in that kind of a mood. Amen. presenting oneself. As I go soul winning, I must walk quickly and quietly to each door as I'm out soul winning. Don't waste time between the doors. Don't run either. All right? We've set aside, each one of you as you go out soul winning, you've set aside 2 hours or whatever your amount of time is per week. You've set that time aside, and you want to be as effective in those 2 hours as possible as you can. And so don't waste any time. Don't waste any time. You've dedicated these 2 hours to the Lord, so you want to be see as much result as you possibly can in those 2 hours. Have a pleasant smile on your face as you walk. Remember whom you are representing. We're representing Jesus Christ as we go out soul winning. I'm, of course, myself, a person sees me, but also I'm representing Jesus Christ. Put a smile on my face because I'm doing the greatest mission I could ever do. And I'm doing it for the greatest person that a job could ever be done for. And if a politician or a congressman can walk down the streets with a parade, and he can pass out his brochures and have a smile on his face, and something as boring as that, as some people may say, I can definitely have a smile on my face when I go out door to door. Now, let the person doing the speaking lead while approaching the door, okay? The person that's going to be doing the talking, let him do the leading to the door. The Bible says, let everything be done decently and in order. Let everything be done decently and in order. Have you ever been out soul winning with somebody, and you're walking up to the door, and you're the silent partner, and the person, it seems like the person's hiding behind you. You get to the door, and then you almost have to push them to the door. Let the person doing the talking lead to the door. The speaker should always stand on the side of the door handle, while the silent partner should stand on the side of the hinges. See, that's real simple. Yes, it is very simple. And but how many times I've gone soul winning before, and I've knocked on the door, and a person comes to the door, and I'm the silent partner, and the person, the speaker, is on either the wrong side or behind me, and I have to start talking and introduce myself, the silent partner, and then the silent partner starts talking. Or the silent partner, I'm talking, and the silent partner's right behind me. And so I go to talk and introduce myself, introduce the silent partner, and I turn to this side. He's not behind me. He's not on this side, but he's right behind me. Or he's not on either side of me, but he's behind me. And so the silent partner should stand on the side of the hinges while the speaker stands on the side of the doorknob. knowing your position before approaching the door will prevent an awkward and embarrassing situation while the resident opens the door. You stand there and you're in the wrong position. You do a little dance on their front step, trying to get your location, and the person thinks, "What in the world's going on? These people don't have their something is not right here." And once the sojourner is positioned at the door, do the following: knock hard enough so the resident can hear, but not too hard. Don't make them think you're going to break their door. Amen. All right. Don't make them think you're going to break the door. I've been out sowing, and I like to knock hard. But if you knock too hard, I've had some lady come to the door and think that I'm going to break her door down. "What are you doing knocking on my door so hard?" A little old lady thinks that I'm going to break into her house. Why? Because I knock too hard. But then, of course, don't knock too lightly either. I've been with some men out sowing, 350-pound man out sowing, and he comes up to the door, and he's afraid, and he... Well, I hope nobody answers that door, amen? Don't worry, nobody will even hear you, amen? But knock loud enough so that somebody can hear you, and don't knock too loud so that the person thinks you're going to break the door down either. So the second thing, once you've positioned yourself at the door, then step back from the door once you have knocked. Nobody likes to open their door and see a face smashed into their screen. Amen. They don't like somebody sticking their head in their door. And so as I come to the door, here I'm walking down the sidewalk. I'm walking quickly down the sidewalk. I turn to their sidewalk that leads to the door. I'm the speaker. I'm leading. I come to the door. I position myself on the handle side. The silent partner comes around, stands at the hinges. I knock. I step back. And that way, the person, when he answers the door, doesn't think I'm going to suffocate him. And then the third thing, smile. It's all right to smile as you go out sowing and enjoy yourself. I like... tell you the truth, I like knocking on the door, and I don't know the person that's going to come to the door, and I love finding out the story that's behind the door. I love finding out the story that's behind the door. There is so much information that I can ask that person, and I can get to know them. And but don't be nervous when you're knocking on the door. Put a smile on your face and try to cover that nervousness. Amen. So smile. No one wants to open the door to a discouraged and depressed face. Smiles are free, amen? And smile, it don't hurt. It don't hurt, it's okay. Smile and enjoy yourself. You're doing the greatest commission that's ever been given. You are doing the greatest commission that one could ever do, and that is present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, that person may not, of course, that person doesn't know that. They may think, "This person is knocking on my door, and here's another religious person just want to tell me some more stuff." No, you have the greatest news that they could ever hear. You know that. They don't know that. So smile and enjoy yourself as you go out. And that person, of course, be conscious of the person's circumstance. Be conscious of the person's circumstance. If the person is busy, be conscious of it. Don't. Sometimes you go to somebody's house and it's supper time or it's dinner time, and the person comes to the door. He has a half a sandwich in his hand and a Coke in his hand, and then you start talking with him. Now, of course, the soul winner, he wants to lead the person to the Lord. That is his ultimate goal. But if somebody is busy, and he has all his family around the table, and he got up from the table, and he's answering the door, there is a better time to catch him than a sandwich in this hand and a Coke in this hand. Or a mom holds a baby in this hand, and then she has a toddler pulling on her dress, and mom, and the kid's screaming in the background. And you say, "Ma'am, let me show you a verse here." And the noise keeps on getting louder. You get louder and trying to dominate the noise, and it just... becomes chaotic. There's better times. There's a better time to confront that person and to witness to that person. So be conscious of the person's circumstances. Or if they have family over or company over, be considerate. Be considerate about their circumstances that are going on. Then presenting the purpose. Okay, first of all, I present myself. I present myself. I want to present myself to the best of my ability. Because as I come to somebody's door, here I am eventually, if they keep the door open, I'm eventually going to become their teacher. I'm eventually going to become their spiritual or their teacher of some truths in the Bible. If I present myself and in a way that they don't have confidence in me, or they think, well, I can't really trust what this person is saying. He really doesn't know what he's talking about. If I present myself in that kind of a manner, it's going to hurt me when I come to telling him or removing an excuse that he brings up or presenting the plan of salvation. Presenting the purpose. Once you have knocked, you must announce the purpose of your visit. You didn't knock on their door for them to come and talk to you. You knocked on their door for you to talk to them. They aren't going to come. I've been with some people sometimes. They knock on the door. Somebody comes to the door and they look at each other. And they look at each other, and I get nervous because it's real quiet, and the situation is real embarrassing. And I think, man, spit some kind of a word out, say hello or something. And the person just stands there. But once they've knocked, somebody's come to the door. Introduce your purpose. Why are you at the door? You're not at the door for them to talk to you and them to get to know you. You're at the door to present a message. Knowing how to present your purpose will give you confidence in your soul winning. There are three things you must introduce. There are three things you must introduce. Yourself. Hi, my name is Caleb Hansen. And this is my friend, Joe Blow. And we're from Faith Baptist Church. Introduce those three things. I've been with, sometimes somebody may say, come to the door. The soul winner says, we're from Faith Baptist Church. It's out inviting people. Don't introduce themselves. Don't introduce the partner, silent partner that they have with them. Or introduce themselves. Invite them to church. Don't tell them where they're from. Well, that's not going to help. They get in the car and go to this church they've been introduced to, but don't know the exact place, location, or the name of it. Keep the opening conversation positive. Keep the opening conversation positive. There's plenty of things to get discouraged about in this world. You can start talking about the weather. Amen. That's discouraging. No, the clouds and everything. You can talk about the way the world is going. And you can talk about all different kinds of discouraging things. But keep the conversation at a positive note and as a positive conversation. Once you have completed your introduction, it is important to find a common interest. A common interest will open for the soul winner a door of communication. This is so vitally important. You say, Brother Caleb, I come to the door. I introduce myself. I introduce my silent partner. I introduce our church. Then it seems like the next thing I know is start asking them if they're saved. Or start asking them if you're to die today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? That, of course, you have to ask that. But there's a place in the visit to ask that. If I can get in and talk with somebody and the common interest will join my heart and their heart, will be a common connection there. If I can talk with somebody and say, like for instance, last night I went to a fellow's house. I witnessed to him for an hour and 15 minutes. But before I started witnessing, I saw in the corner there was a guitar. Now, I don't know how to play guitar. I know there's 6 strings or 12 strings on a guitar, and I don't know a whole lot about a guitar. But I started asking him questions. I said, do you play guitar? He said, yes, I started about a year ago. I said, do you take lessons? Yes, I take lessons. I found out that he has been playing for a year. I found out that he takes lessons in Chicago. I found out that he practices every day for an hour or more. I found out that he works hard on his instrument. He loves his instrument. We talked probably for 15 minutes about his guitar. I said, can I see your guitar? I sat with the guitar on my lap and strummed the guitar. I don't know anything about a guitar, but it was fun strumming a guitar, amen? And winning that person over to you. Winning that person over in the conversation, then being able to turn the conversation over, and we'll talk more about that, but whether it's you walk up to the door and you see a motorcycle there. I don't know much about motorcycles, but a couple months ago, I went in the backyard of I went to the door. A fellow was in the backyard. He was shining his motorcycle. I went back there. I said, wow, this is a nice motorcycle. What kind motorcycle? How long have you had it? How often do you ride it? Do you have the different clothing to ride, different kinds of clothing to ride, leather jacket? Or I just talked to him. We talked there for about 20 minutes about his motorcycle. I don't know much about a motorcycle, but what I do know is if I can get a common interest with him, I can win his heart over. I can keep on winning his heart. And I can, if I can win his heart, he can open up with me. I see a man has a boat. You go boating? You do. All right, that's great. Where do you go boating at? Oh, I go up at this lake. Really? Have you ever been to Minnesota? Minnesota has 10,000 lakes up there. You should go try and try your boat out on one of those lakes up there. It doesn't matter if you know about the topic that you are trying to get an interest in with that person. Just learn to ask questions. A common interest is not always able to be found. Sometimes a person won't let you open up the door and just talk with them and ask talk about their house, talk about their car. Sometimes they won't let you do that. But if it's possible, that's the best way to get the door open in communication with them. A common interest will be found through asking questions. Learn to ask questions. How long have you lived in this area? How long have you lived here? Did you grow up here? Did you go to school here? Do you go to church in the area? Ask them questions. What do you do for a living? Ask them about their job. Ask them about what they like to do for hobbies. Boy, you can talk. You can spend an hour with somebody just talking, just trying to get a common interest with them. Everybody likes to talk about themselves. Everybody likes to talk about themselves. Amen. And the person that answers the door loves to talk about themselves, loves to talk about their hobbies, loves to talk about their vacations, loves to talk about their work, their life, their home. If you can just talk about them. That's why as I go up to the door, knock on the door, there's so much information behind that screen or behind that door that I can get, and I can talk with them about that information. Getting to know the person, amen? Everybody likes to talk about themselves. Decide what types of questions to ask by being observant while walking to the house. If I see somebody in a garden, if I see them hoeing the garden, or if I see them planting flowers, I'm going to ask them about that. If I see somebody with a boat, I'm going to ask them about that boat. Because obviously they have an interest in that. If I see somebody with a motorcycle, I'm going to ask them about that. If I see some flowers that a lady likes to take care of, then I can ask. Now, I don't know anything about flowers. Amen? But I can ask questions. I can ask if these flowers come up every year. I can ask if these flowers, if you planted these flowers. I can ask all different kinds of questions on their flowers. Also, if I see a lemon in the driveway, I can say, I had one of those too. Amen. Do you need help? Do you need help on your introducing or opening up the conversation? I can't stress this hard enough. If you don't know how to introduce, open up the door of communication, it'll be like this. Knock on the door. Somebody comes to the door. Hi, my name is Caleb Hansen, and this is my friend. We're from Faith Baptist Church, just out in the area, inviting people to church. Do you know if you're dying today? Do you know if you go to heaven? Man, that's a bold question all of a sudden to be faced with that. Warm up the conversation by a common interest. Warm up that conversation. You need help on getting a common interest. There is the word help. Humidity. Talk about the humidity, the weather. Talk about the weather. Well, have you enjoyed the weather lately? Have you enjoyed the rain? Have you enjoyed the dark gray clouds? Amen. How about a hobby? Do you have a hobby? What do you do for a hobby? What do you do on your spare time? Are you interested in golfing? Are you interested in fishing? Are you interested in baseball? Ask them about their house. Comment about their house. Talk to them about their employment. Talk to them about their loved ones. Everybody likes to talk about family. If you see pictures on their walls, talk to them about the pictures on the walls. Everybody likes to share a story about their brother, a story about their sister, a story about their aunt and uncle. Everybody likes to talk about their loved ones. But what we're doing, we're opening up that communication there. So when I bring that question, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? They won't be standoffish. They won't be embarrassed. They will be open to talk about it. Finding a common interest will allow you to obtain information that will aid you while witnessing to them. I'm not asking them questions just because I'm trying to kill time. First of all, I'm trying to open up the door of communication. Then secondly, I'm trying to get information that I can use in my presentation of the plan of salvation. Do you go to church anywhere? Oh, yes, you go to the Catholic Church. Okay, all right. That automatically registers in my mind and I think, okay, I'm going to have to deal with works salvation. A person says, well, I'm Jehovah Witness. Well, automatically, I'm going to have to talk about the Trinity. I'm going to have to talk about Jesus as God. We're not just wasting time here. We're trying to get information for the presentation for the plan of salvation. So that when I go to present the question, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? I can be as effective as I possibly can be with the information we've talked about. If somebody said, I've grown up in a Catholic church, I know that obviously they're going to need a lot of scripture. If somebody tells me, I've grown up in a religion, I'm going to have to be ready to refute the excuses they give me. The excuses that they present, I already have prepared myself. Why? Because I asked them questions in the introduction that have prepared me mentally to refute those excuses. After a common interest has been found, slowly turn the conversation spiritually by using questions as, are you familiar with Faith Baptist Church? Okay, we've talked about their hobby, we've talked about their work, we've talked about their loved ones, and now obviously, there's got to be a time in the conversation that I start talking to them spiritually. So I ask them, are you familiar with Faith Baptist Church? They say, yes. How are you familiar? Have you gone there? Have you drove by our church before? How are you familiar with Faith Baptist Church? Do you attend church anywhere? Oh, yes, we attend church somewhere. Well, that's great. Then I like to ask the question, how often do you attend church? Amen. And oftentimes, or you start asking about their church, what's the name of your church? Hon, what's that name of our church we go to? And all the time through this whole conversation, through this warm-up conversation, I've been talking about their priest or their pastor or their leader of the church. And boy, they're so excited. Yeah, we do all this kind of stuff. And he's a great man. I love him. And we go out and we do things together. And then, how often do you go to church? What's the name of your church? What's the name of your pastor? Hun, you know how it goes. Amen. And so ask him. Also, that question right there, that last question, is also preparing me for the plan of salvation. I'm preparing myself. If they attend church every Sunday, like I just said, it's preparing me to remove those excuses that they're going to present to me. There are four basic areas in which the sower must be knowledgeable. We've talked about the preparation of the soul winner. We've talked about the presentation of the soul winner. We've talked about, or we're going to talk about the plan, and we're also going to talk about the persuasion. The persuasion we're not going to talk about tonight, but the plan, presenting the plan. The Apostle Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation." Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The sower must control the conversation. Don't allow the resident to dominate the visit. The sower must dominate or control the conversation. If the conversation becomes the person, the resident talking to you, of course, you're going to be talking back and forth in the introduction. But when the resident starts talking, trying to convert you, then obviously they are in control of the conversation. You must control the conversation, talk about, you ask the questions, you control and dominate when you go to the next step of that visit, when you turn it to a spiritual conversation. Then the plan should be presented by thought-provoking questions such as, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'll go to heaven? If you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'll go to heaven? That's a very common question that's asked. Another one is, have you ever been born again? Have you ever been born again? I was out visiting with a preacher, and this man, he stated an excuse, and preacher said, "Well, have you ever been born again? Have you ever been born again?" And a Catholic has been trained to say, "I am saved. I have asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior." Well, if a soul winner hears that and is not used to hearing that and does not know that they've been taught to say that, and what they mean by saying, "I have been saved, I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior," the sower is going to say, "Oh, okay, well, I'm glad that you've done that." And he'll go on and he will leave that person lost. That person says, "Yeah, I'm saved." What they're talking, that lost person is saying, "I'm saved, I've been saved from a circumstance, or I've confessed my daily sins, or I go to church and I do my confession to the priest." That's not being saved. Being born, so you ask the question, have you been born again? Have you been born again? Now back over to where I was talking about the introducing or getting a common interest, I ask the question, do you go to church anywhere? If they tell me I go faithfully to a Catholic church, I'm not going to ask them, are you 100% sure if you were to die, you go to heaven? Have you ever been saved? Yes, I'm saved. I know I go to heaven because I confess my sins. I'm not going to ask them that question. I'm going to ask them the question, have you been born again? Have you been born again? Then I go over to John chapter 3 and talk about where Nicodemus said, how am I going to go to heaven? And Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then the next verse says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Then the next verse says, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. Three, you quote those three, or you read those three verses to that person, it's emphasizing the importance of being born again. Then you ask them, have you ever been born again? And if they haven't been born again, they're going to say no. No, I've never been born again. And then you take them back and say, Jesus told Nicodemus, if you haven't been born again, then you can't see the kingdom of God. Then you can't enter the kingdom of God. And then he says, Jesus says, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. You ask the person, have you been born again? No. Would you like to be born again? As you're emphasizing those three verses, you're telling the person, if you haven't been born again, you're not going to heaven. If you're not born again, you're not going to heaven. And that person sees that when you're quoting those verses. John chapter 3, verse 3 through verse 6 or 7, right in that portion of Scripture, it emphasizes being born again three different times. Have you been saved? Yeah, I've been saved. I go to church every Sunday and I kneel before the priest and I get my sins forgiven. Well, the terminology is good, but the philosophy is not good, or the way they do it is it's not correct. They're not saved. The person is not saved. So I ask them, have you been born again? Have you been born again? And then go to John chapter 3, verse 3 through, I believe it's verse 8. Or, have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? That's another introduction or a question to the plan of salvation. If the reply is, I don't think anyone can know that, or I'll let God determine that when I get there, take them to 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may, what's the next word? Know. That ye may know. I mean, it can't be any clearer. It can't be any clearer than that. Well, I don't think anybody can know. How many have ever heard that? Yeah, everybody's heard that. I mean, that excuse comes up all the time. Well, I'll just let God determine that when I get there. Oh, no, no, you don't have to do that. Let me show you. I always say, the person says, well, I guess I'll just find out when I get there. I say, well, you know, if you could know that you could go to heaven before you die, I'm sure you'd like to know, wouldn't you? Yeah, they start nodding their head. Yeah, that would be nice to have that peace in your heart. Then I say, let me show you a verse here. So I turn over to 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. I tell them, the Bible says we can know 100% sure that when we die, we're on our way to heaven. Then I say, if I can know 100% sure that when I die, I'm on my way to heaven, I definitely would want to know. Then I ask them, would you want to know? And they say, yes, I would like to know too. And then I say, let me show you how you can know. And then we just go right into the plan of salvation. But if the person says, I don't know that, or I don't think anybody can know that, or I'll just let God determine that when I get there, take them to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. That's called removing the excuse. The person puts somebody up an excuse, remove that excuse. This clearly states that before they die, they can know they can go to heaven. There are four simple facts a lost man must be shown by the soul winner. All have sinned. The punishment for their sin is death and hell. Jesus died to pay their punishment. And they must receive Jesus' death as payment for their punishment. While presenting the plan, remember these guidelines. These are so, so important. State each point clearly. Then read the Bible verse that applies to the point you have stated. Then illustrate each point to help them understand. So when I say a point, okay, first of all have sinned. I'm going to give them verses for that. Then I'm going to back that point up. Then I'm going to give them illustrations to make that point more clear for them. I present the point. I give them Bible verses to prove what I'm saying is not just what Caleb Hansen just thought up of last night and is spreading through your community. No, no, no. This is backed up by the Word of God. Then I'm going to give them an illustration to help them understand, to help them see the point more clear. Do not go to the next point until the lost person clearly understands the point you have given. Well, you know, all of us, for all have sinned. I've sinned, you've sinned, or I've sinned, my partner sinned, and I do believe you've sinned. Well, I'm not quite sure about that. I've been a pretty good person all my life. Okay, well, then the Bible says that the punishment for sin. Hold on. That person won't get saved. Even if you have them pray a prayer, they're not saved because the first point, they didn't understand. They didn't believe it in their heart. They've got to know each one of these points. I am a sinner. I am a sinner. And we'll talk about this more next week. But I never tell the person they're a sinner. I let the person always tell me that they're the sinner. I never say, you see, the Bible says all have sinned, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means you're a sinner. Of course, that's true. But I don't want to tell them everything, amen, everything that they've done wrong, and I don't want to get kicked out of the house. And Brother Boyd always used to tell us this example. He said one day he was soul winning with a lady, he was in the house of a lady, him and his soul winning partner, and they're going through the plan of salvation. They had just gotten to the point, or they were explaining the point that she was a sinner. And Brother Boyd said, "You are a sinner." And the lady started crying and boo-hooing, "Oh, I'm a sinner. About that time, her husband came home. And there, Brother Boyd and the silent partner were there with the Bible, and she gets up, "Oh, I'm a sinner. These men said that I'm a sinner. He said that wasn't a very pleasant experience, for sure. I don't have to tell the person they're a sinner. They know that. So let the person admit it to me. I don't have to prove it. Let the Bible do all the proving. Let the Bible do the convicting. I'm just the messenger. That's all I am. I'm just the messenger." And we'll go through these different points. I know we aren't going to complete this worksheet here, but we will complete that next week. We'll go on and we'll talk about the different points of the plan of salvation next week. But as a soul winner presents himself, he walks quickly and quietly to the doors. He knocks on the door, steps back from the door, puts a smile on his face. Why? Because we're doing the greatest commission or greatest command that's ever been given is go out and tell people of Jesus Christ. Step back, put a smile on my face. The person opens the door. "Hello, my name's Caleb Hansen. This is my partner here. I'm from Faith Baptist Church. We're just out in the area inviting people to church. Wondering if you go to church anywhere." "Yes, I go to church so-and-so-and-so, this place and that." And I talk to them, get a common interest there. I get the door of communication open. And then I turn the conversation over to a spiritual conversation. Now we are talking about church. We're talking about church attendance. We're talking about where they grew up in church or if they grew up in church and how often they attend church. it's turning into a spiritual conversation. Then I present the question, if you were to die today or something were to happen, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? Or have you ever been born again? Or have you ever asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior? I'm opening up that. It goes from the door, the greeting at the door, to opening the conversation, to turning the conversation to spiritual, and then presenting that question, that thought-provoking question, to the plan of salvation. See, you understand, it goes a whole lot smoother, and you can get so much further with a person than just saying, hello, my name's Caleb Hansen, this is my friend here, we're from Faith Baptist Church. I'm inviting people to church. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Opening up that door of communication will send you so much further in that person's receptiveness to the gospel, and that person's receptiveness to you, building a friendship. A friendship is a whole lot harder to resist than just an acquaintance. I just greet them, and I introduce myself, and then I ask them to come to church. Maybe they get saved, and then they say, no, I don't want to get baptized. I don't want to come to church either. It's harder for them to resist a friendship. I've built a friend there by opening up that door of communication and asking them questions about their life. I'm showing an interest in their life. I could go down through prospects on my stenopan. I could tell you different hobbies that each one of those have. I could tell you where they work, different things like that. Why? Because you want to open up that door of communication. So, so vitally important. And the plan of salvation will be easy. It'll be so easy to bring in that plan of salvation to that lost person. Some things that helps the sower as he goes out. The sower wants to be as effective as he possibly can. If there's some things that I can do. Now, none of these things are written in the Bible. In the Bible, knock hard enough so the person can hear you. Step back, smile. Those things aren't in the Bible. But they do help the soul winner out. And if I can do something that'll make me more effective and more efficient in my soul winning, boy, I want to do that. I want to do that. I want to see more people saved and more people get baptized and more people come to church. If I can change a little bit of my approach, or if I can change a little of my presentation, I'll be willing to do it to see somebody to be more effective in my sowing. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for giving us the great commission of going out sowing. Lord, we take that as a privilege. And Lord, I pray that we would be as effective as we can in our approach, in our introducing ourselves, in our opening up the communication. God, I pray that you would give us wisdom as we go out and help us to apply these little helps in our soul winning. And Lord, I pray that you bless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. That's very good. I like the detail of it. It's exactly what I asked him to do. And I appreciate him emphasizing those matters of help at the door. He's absolutely right. You can go if you don't know what to say. When somebody comes to the door, you can ruin the whole visit real quick. Brother Vineyard had an easy remedy for not knowing what to say at the door. He said, first time you do, hey, you go to the door, somebody comes, you don't know what to say, just go. He said, before you get to the next door, you'll figure out something to say. Amen. So, but I think Caleb's was a little bit more helpful than Brother Vineyard's way to get that taken care of. So anyway, I'm looking forward to next week. You'd be surprised at the number of comments I heard on Sunday. You'd be surprised at the number of folks that witnessed to somebody between last Wednesday and Sunday. You'd be surprised. I mean, it was remarkable to me. Just what a little bit of emphasis on this thing will encourage people to do. Amen? And that's good. So find your time to go. We still come on Tuesdays. We have good crowds. We have new people going. I like that. I'm excited as new people go. But then I always grieve over those who quit going or dropped out or don't go anymore or change their habit. So there's always a time and a place to go. And if you can't go on Tuesday, get that SWAT team going with Brother Caleb, or Saturday. That'll be a good thing. But put this to work, and God will bless you for being a soul winner. He'll bless you for being a witness. He'll bless you for being obedient, amen, to the command to go. So that was good, Caleb. Thank you, sir.